fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We always look forward to our regular weekly visit with NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael, brought to you by the VA New England Healthcare System, serving those who served. Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys?
Doing good. Great, thank you. We always start with Thursday night football. Boy, the Packers seem to be a bit of a mess, don't they?
Yeah, well, and that was a good game last night now because they started strong. And I said, oh, my God. You know, I thought it would always happen when everybody picks one team, the other team win. They pick up that early fumble and then they cash it in and get a touchdown. And I thought, oh, boy, here we go. It somewhere in every season, the Packers get a turn. But that turn didn't come. I mean, Seattle just kept going, and started running the ball well and just gashed them. I thought, you know, Frank Gore gashed them last week. And then last night, Seattle gashed them with those young guys.
Do you think this could be the year that the Packers make a coaching change at the end of the season?
I mean, that's everybody's talking about that. I mean, we've heard the rift between these two, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Coach McCarthy. But, yeah, but that's a hard call to make. The guy's had so much success in Green Bay. Of course, he's fallen short of winning a whole bunch of Super Bowls. And the people over there in New England is what he's measured by. So, you know, then now they're talking about all of the rift that's going on between Aaron and Coach and the little barbs that goes back and forth. So that'll be interesting. But I'm going to tell you this. If they do, before his second step hits the ground, he will already have many offers. I mean, when he walks out the door, he hit the first step out the door. Before his second step hit the ground, he'll have all kind of offers at other head coaching jobs.
Michael, a couple of weeks ago, you were part of the broadcasting team when the NFL was in London. This week, the Monday Night Football game was supposed to be in Mexico City. It got moved back to Los Angeles because the field was just completely unplayable. As a general rule of thumb, do you like these games outside of the United States?
I love them, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I love that game in London. I absolutely love the game in London. I told you, we sat around and we counted. Because the London fans, they all come to the game, but they're coming representing whatever team that they've been watching and loving. You know, they'll come because it's the only live football they got. But it took us 4 minutes and 39 seconds to count all 32 jerseys walking by. Is that serious or not? 4 minutes and 39 seconds to count all 32 jerseys as they walked by. And I was like, oh, my God. There's no way the NFL leaving this money on the table. They got the hooks of people like this right here. There's no way. You know, it was just a great time over in London, man. And I want to see the game go in Mexico. But the field was horrific. Kudos to the NFL for making a decision and not feeding us the hypocrisy of safety being so important and then making a guy play on that field because they want to expand their brand and make more money and throw all of that out the window. You guys see that field?
Oh, yeah. Awful. Just terrible. Yeah.
That little league couldn't even play on that field.
Right.
That's what a little league team couldn't play on that field where you would feel safe. Let alone talk about NFL. I should even say that backwards, huh? We should let the grown-ups play and really not let the kids play. Maybe I said that backwards.
We got you.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
You know what I mean, right? Right, you know what I mean.
Now, going back to the Patriots' loss to the Titans, is that to you just a bad week for the team, or is there something more to it?
Well, a little bit of both. A little bit of both. I do believe that if you played that game 10 times, the Patriots would come out winning 8 of them. But I do believe also that Mike Vrabel has something. There's something to a physical football team playing New England. A physical football team. You got to be physical. You got to run the ball hard to beat New England. And if I'm coaching anybody else in this league right now, listen to what I'm doing. I'm throwing out all game film of anybody and everybody else. I'm only watching the Detroit game film because I want to watch a man that has coached against that offense all these years. And then I want to watch the Tennessee film because I want to watch a man that has played against that offense and practiced a lot of years. That's all I'm going to watch. everything I need to learn about New England, I'm going to get out of these two films. All the other stuff, I'm throwing out the window.
Talking to NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin, Rob Gronkowski has missed the last 4 weeks, well, will be 4 weeks by the time if he can play against the Jets a week from Sunday. I get the feeling watching it, Michael, that he's close to being ready, but they just want him to feel confident he's 100% ready. They even said that if it was a playoff game last weekend, he would have played.
Right. And that kind of leans back to what we were talking about also, that, okay, then you did take Tennessee a little lightly because you knew if that was Kansas City they were playing, you think Gronk would play? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If that was the Rams they were playing, Gronk would have played. You see what I mean? So they went in thinking we should be able to take their Tennessee, and Gronk, you kind of iffy, just kind of chill. And then we'll let you go into the bye week. And then we'll get all these weeks in. We'll see. But if they were playing Kansas City or Pittsburgh, one of those teams, he would have tried himself on out there. Now, guys, I hope I didn't put my mouth on Gronk, because from the moment I shared with y'all that I think Kelce has taken the lead as the top tight end in the league, yeah, it seems like Gronk has turned in another direction here.
He didn't like hearing that, Michael. I don't think he liked hearing that. I thought I was going to motivate him. It kind of went the other way.
I put my mouth, and then I started looking around. I was like, wait a minute. I started hearing everybody say this. I said, they're listening to me on EEI, and they're taking my stuff and running. Just stop that right there. That's what everybody must be listening. Because from that time I said it, every time I turned on, because, you know, you watch everything.
Sure.
You listen to everybody. You're trying to get as much as you can. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. They weren't even having this conversation, and now everybody's having it. But trust me, when you get Gronk back, that's a big addition, because he just gives you that something. And maybe that's what Tennessee matched up and got physical with everybody else. But that's the one odd matchup that's hard to match up to, and that's the Gronk matchup.
How do you think Tom Brady has played through this point? You know, the team's 7-3. They're in first place, and I know they're coming off a bad performance. But overall, if you look at the 10 games, you know, he was the MVP a year ago. Have you seen a major difference between the two seasons?
Now, is he playing as well as he played last year? We'll all say no to that. But the word you stuck in there was, have you seen a major difference? After saying the man is 7-3. You know, so he's 7-3 right now. You're still top of the division. You know, you're falling behind Pittsburgh and all of that, and as far as seeding goes. But you're still top of the division. Yeah, he has played as well as he played last year. But I won't say it's a major difference. I think everybody is looking for that turn in Tom, and we got a microscope on it. We have a microscope on it. Oh, my God. Did that ball hit the ground? Oh, man. When I watched them, we had a Thursday night game. I think it's whatever the score was. And all I needed Tom to do was give me that last first down to run the clock. I had a 31-18 or something like that. That's what the score was. But the third down went in the ground. And then he came back and got a field goal. I'm on the sideline. Man, Tom, man, what's going on with Tom? Same thing. I just want him to make me right. I'm doing the same thing. What's going on with Tom? There's nothing wrong. You know what I mean? You played those two teams that know you as well as anybody and has practiced against you as much as anybody, and they got the best of you. You played the last one without Gronk. Let's give them back Gronk and get it back going and see what we say.
You have told us in the past this season, you know, what a great wide receiver Josh Gordon is from a talent perspective. You've talked especially about his hands and being able to catch the ball with his hands the way he does. His catch-to-target ratio, though, is not that good. Is there a reason in particular, or is that just part of the package with him?
No, there's a reason to that. I always tell people there are two things here. And how often have you heard people talk about how difficult it is to pick up that offense? You know what I mean? To really learn that offense and understand that offense. And then when you're a wide receiver, rule of thumb here. This is rule of thumb. I don't care if you're the baddest man God built head to toe. This is rule of thumb. If you are leaving the huddle thinking about what route to run instead of leaving the huddle thinking about how to win on this route, you are in trouble. See, when you leave the huddle, when you get to play, bam, I have to be solid and understand exactly what my assignment is right now, soon as he spit it past his lips. And now, from the walk, from the huddle to my position on the field, my mindset cannot be thinking about, oh, what route do I run again? Okay, if he says sprint right six, Texas over, I think I got out. No, I think I did. If you're doing that, you're going to lose. From the time I leave the huddle walk to, I got to be saying, okay, how do I win on this route? All right, I see the safety takes it back. This is cover two. All right, man inside, the corner inside, there's two men. All right, I got to take him down. You see, I got to leave the huddle thinking about how to win, not thinking about what to run. And I think what you're seeing is Josh still thinking about what to run instead of how to win. And when you're thinking about what to run, then you're thinking and not reacting, and you're playing a little slow, and it seems just a tick off. And I think that's what's happening with it.
It has not been a great first season for Matt Patricia as a head coach with the Lions. They're in last place right now, 3-6 to begin the year. And the latest thing that has popped up for Matt Patricia is he was getting some criticism. He held practice outside in the snow, despite the fact that the next four games are either indoors or in Arizona. Which side do you come down here?
It's the kind of stuff that makes you laugh, you know, because I understand what coach is doing. I really do. And I understand the sensibility of what the players are sitting there thinking, and people are sitting there saying, oh, my God, he's going crazy. What's going on? Jimmy did that. It was, you know, Jimmy did it. Just this is a mental tough thing. We don't want to hear about this. It was one thing. Let me tell you something. We had a practice one time at Miami. It was rainy, catchy. I mean, just rain. You couldn't see. You couldn't see. We could not see. I swear this is a true story. And I remember Benny calling the play. Who said, Hunt, I ran a slant route. And Andre Brown ran a slant route, and he threw it. You couldn't see the ball. And Andre dropped it. Jimmy said, let's go do it again. Then we're going to get it. Damn it, get it right out. We'll stay out here until we get it right. And he said, run it again. Run it again. And ran it again. And he still couldn't see the ball. And he said, did he catch it? Coach said, did he catch it? Everybody said, yeah. He said, okay, let's go. He lied. But he would try to build the toughness in us, you know. Like, I don't care about the element. I don't want to hear us complain about nothing. We're going to come out here and play football. And he was trying to set the tone. That's what we were. That's what we were going to do. And I'd imagine coach is trying to do some of the same thing. He wants to take control. He wants a tough team. Here, we should be talking about all of these elements. This is our problem. We're complaining about too much. And maybe we don't know how good we have it. But I understand those guys going crazy. Like, coach, come on now.
Playing inside, you know. The games are inside.
We playing a dome, man. But, coach, hey, you got to let the man do what he thinks he needs to do to get the team there. And a lot of times, honestly, guys, that's part of the weeding out process. I want to see the people that are here to play ball and love playing ball. I don't give a darn where we're playing it at. And then I want to see all the people that are going to complain because I'm putting you on a list, and as soon as I can, I'm shipping your butt out of here.
And apparently he began his press conference today 4 minutes talking about why they practice outdoors. So obviously he was feeling to the criticism. He just went up there 900 words. I guess they transcribed it. 900 words on why.
What was he saying? What did he say?
Well, one of the main things for him was that he thinks that the turf is more dangerous than the grass outside. So even though it was cold and it was snowy, he thought some of the turf, like, that was one of the things he was talking about. Because it was a full padded practice. He thought it might add to joint swelling and things like that, apparently. Yeah, you're not buying it. Yeah, no, neither am I.
Remember that with a straight face?
I guess, yeah.
He didn't have a comedian up there by him or something. He was saying that, like, you know, this is, oh, God, that's incredible. That's incredible. You got to come up with something. But yeah, that's funny, man. That's funny. I can tell you that locker room, it was on fire. Coming out of that cold, it was on fire. Fire is an African-American colloquialism for fire. It was
hot. I got it. Thank you. Yes.
They were hot. They were on fire. Not fire.
Nope.
Fire.
Final question before we let you go. We mentioned they moved the Monday Night Football game to Los Angeles. It is the Rams and the Chiefs. It is 2-9-1 football teams. Is this the best game of the year so far?
The record says best game of the year. Yeah, and also each offense says it should be the best game of the year. These are two explosive offenses, two young quarterbacks. This can be the new version of the Tom Brady Peyton Manning fight that we had a chance to enjoy for so long. This is a new version. It's young Mahomes and Goff because of the systems they're in, the coaches they're working with, the talent they got around them. We're looking, I know there's different conferences right now, but we may be looking at this here for quite a while. So this is a big game. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I do believe when I look it over, you know, offensively, if I say which offense you take, you probably right now, so that's a hard pick. That's a hard pick, you know, which offense. But if I give Kansas City the offense, I'm surely definitely giving the Rams the defense. But that offense is a lot closer, certainly, for than the defense is.
We always appreciate the time. Have yourself a great Thanksgiving, okay, Michael?
Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, too. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys also.
Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye. That is Michael Irvin, NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst.